Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Good afternoon, sir.
Okay, I was listening for a long time this morning, and I finally decided quite a lot of things that people were saying, which I agree with. And I just decided to call in and, you know, put my few words in tape.
No problem. That's why we're here.
Right. One of the things was the guy that called in early this morning about the stoplights by Andy Wilson. I quite agree with him. That when you are coming from St. Michael's Roadside to swing right there in front of Nelson, there are people stepping down in front of you, and they have stopped, you have go, and still they are crossing. And as you say, you know, if you do anything or blow your horn, they want to hit you. Remember a time I blew my horn at a lady, and she had she parasolis to start to hit the bonnet of my car. No, yeah.
You're lucky you didn't have a convertible. You might have got hit in your head.
No, you know, if I had got it, what would happen?
Well, yeah, just tell you so. Yeah. If you had a convertible, you would get hit in your head.
And then I would have got the wrong.
Yeah, of course.
It's hard for people to of talk course. Until the shoe is on their feet. Mm. When it's on your foot and it's burning you, it's a different
then
situation.
You know. Yeah.
When it's burning other people, we sit down and we say, oh, you could bear it out.
You could steer
that.
It's
really hurting you that much.
Yeah.
That is one. Mm-hmm. Number two, I want to address this vaccination situation. I personally believe there are people and older folks, I agree, they are doing 70 and over. But eventually, everybody is going to get vaccinated, as far as I was told. My take about it is there are still people in that age bracket that probably register and not turning up. My take about it, and you could tell me if you see it that way or you don't agree, my take about it is that if I turn up, it shows that I'm interested and I need to get vaccinated. I don't see why the sense of turning back individuals that are there. To me, it will make the wait less easier than sitting down there so waiting all the time. What do you think about that?
So I think there should be two paths to the vaccination process. The appointment path and the just turn up path. I don't believe they should be in the same line. I don't believe they should be going to the same destination or in the same place. I think it could be organized in such a way that if you have an appointment, you go X and you're seen. If you just turn up, you should be told, well, you've just turned up, you don't have an appointment, but you can wait. Your wait would be half an hour, 1 hour, depending on the line and where you are, and do this in an orderly fashion. Doctors have appointments. Hairdressers have appointments. People all over the place have appointments. You're going for a blood test, you have an appointment. But there are certain things called emergencies. There are certain things called people just turn up. So the person who's in charge of the doctor's office will say, look, doctor has four appointments. They're spaced half an hour apart. We have a space blocked between 2 o'clock and 2:30, where doc usually takes a break or whatever. I will see if he can see you at 2 o'clock. Now, if the person tells you that at 10 o'clock, and you know you may get a break at two, you have one or two options. You could go down the road, you could do your grocery shopping, you could go and pay your bill at the post office or at the show pay, and you come back at 1:30 and say, you still got a space at 2 o'clock? Say, yes, I told the doctor, he said. So now you sit and wait. If you want to sit there and wait till 2 o'clock, or sit in your car and wait till 2 o'clock, that's your option. But you are told and you're given the choice. So that ain't difficult to do, is it?
All right, Mr. John, I can agree with that. But
you know,
that is a mouthful.
But sir, I'm just saying, if they're in front of you, you got a choice. You got to try and deal with it.
Yeah, but look at it. Now, they have a starting point and a cutoff point.
Yeah, I know.
If that cutoff point reaches you there, they can say they're finished.
Yeah, and you got to go back tomorrow. I know, sir. Yeah, I
know. And then you waste your time.
I know.
I believe if you turn up, you should be able to go and get your vaccination.
Yeah.
And to me, it eased the strain instead of people sitting down waiting. I know of a gentleman, he told me that he registered and he didn't hear anything at all, at all, at all. And he said he was just on my day, and a gentleman said to him,
come and go.
In that term, but he said to him, I register. banger, and he said, man, I'm going cross there, come and go.
Yeah.
And he got up and went with the gentleman, Mr. Johnson, and he got through.
And you got through. Yeah.
Yeah, both of them. So I'm saying to you, they are encouraging us, come and get vaccinated. And I think it is fair for the people that are interested and want to get theirs if they turn up, vaccinate them, and let them go. That is my whole belief on that day. Instead of turning around, then you got to go back. You have to wait till your ears bracket. I mean, the older folks, as sorry as they will have a time for the younger ones. But if you, suppose you are 50, 60 in there and you turn up, you should not be turned away. I personally don't feel you should be turned away, because then you eventually may say, look, I ain't wearing to go with that there no more.
Sir, you got to just work it out when they get there, which is the best way to do this. Send some that side, send some that side, and let's see what really happens.
Right. If they do two lines, as you said, yes, I could agree with that. Who register and who non-register? But yeah. Right now, they are not doing the authorities need to look into this more seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you this. There are people that know people in there, and they call them, and they say, are you working today? And Mr. Johnson, believe it, the goal, register or no register and get the vaccine. That's a fact.
Sir, and that's the experience why people keep turning up. Someone sent me a message, says, the people who call in and talk foolishness don't know what's happening. I'm a frontline worker, or people need to take it seriously. Today only shows why we can't open the salons and barbershops. You need, and these people need, to take a visit to any of the polyclinics, and you would understand why the pause was necessary. I don't need to visit the polyclinic. I see the pictures. I see the newspaper reports, and I am sure I know what happened, because there are times that I pass outside supermarkets. I see the lines, and I ask myself why. It's the shock. There are mental issues here at play, that people are anxious. They are not behaving in, let's call it, a normal manner. That's what I'll say. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Family.
What happening?
Hey, good man. You good?
I'm trying to be good.
Yeah. But, you know, I haven't spoken to you since last year.
Well,
and I was,
can't say happy yet, but hope you have a good new year so far.
Thank you, sir. Right. And I was harassing you last year about the leakage I had.
Yes.
And in all fairness, I get fixed. But I get fixed around November. November time. Yeah, just close to Christmas, yeah. I guess it was a gift. And the surprising thing about it is that a worker from the Water Authority called me in February and asked me if I get fixed, yeah.
You sent him a picture? I'm sorry.
All they could have do is laugh and say, yes, sir, thank you very much, but it's fixed. So he only goes to show, you know, fix in November, but call in...
In January?
February. To ask you if we get fixed. So I thought I would bring that up because they keep harassing you about it last year.
Okay.
Now, this whole thing about this the vaccine thing, you don't have a friend that you could send me at least. Because that's what's happening.
That's what it is?
But if you have people who've made appointments and waiting for a response, but haven't got a response as yet, but they have a friend who says to them, look, man, I could get you sorted out. You think they can wait on the response and tell the person, well, I set an appointment, so I can wait and get on the appointment?
I don't think you will. I think people depend on, I know a friend to get through with a lot of things.
Right. So it's happening all the time and everywhere. So you get people like Saturday who went up to the drive-in. Yeah. I figured it was to go and watch a horror movie in the day called Vaccine. Because you could not have imagined all those persons had appointment. But I would have made an appointment, Mr. Johnson. This is over 2 weeks now. And I haven't got a response as yet. So So what should I do? Wait until they call me? Or wait for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine? Which one?
Sir, I am wondering why the no call back. Because when I was approached to voice the promo, one of the things I was told after I was given the information was, wait, you got put in. Let them give a number so we could call them back to notify them. So I made sure that I went back and put that part in. So if people are giving a number and waiting on a call back, I don't understand why they're not being called back.
Something
wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask people to give information and they give you the information, then the expectation is they will get a call back. And I keep hearing people saying they're not getting a call back, and I don't understand why.
No, but they send you a text and tell you message received.
That might be automatic.
Information received. Uh-huh. That's right, it's automatic.
It might be automatic.
But other than that, mm-hmm. we have a situation where a lot of seniors, you know, are scared about this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to get the vaccine. Not only seniors, a lot of people are scared about this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So people need the vaccine. So I am saying that all this public relations and bringing in this body to do PR exercise in the next body, we still seems to be butting our heads. And finally, sir, let me ask this question. All the vaccines we had came out of India, right? As far as you're aware?
To the best of my knowledge.
But I thought I was reading an article only last week that India Prime Minister only took the vaccine last week.
Yeah. Maybe he didn't think he was essential.
He's not producing.
His country and his countrymen are. But maybe he's not essential.
Not essential.
No.
Well, boy, they got a lot.
Listen, sir, in certain parts of the world, the Prime Minister is the first person to go home in a lot of things when you see the army pull up outside. He ain't think they're coming to protect him. Okay. So, you know, right. I don't know, sir. So, I don't know.
But seriously, I hope we get it start well. And the other thing I heard the Attorney General talking about is supermarkets and business responsible for people lining up on their properties. Mm-hmm. Even if the property is still lining up. So I am wondering if you have a supermarket, how far you have to patrol the line to ensure people's social distance?
So that is like the curtilage of your home.
Mm-hmm.
If you're standing around the supermarket, standing under the eave of the supermarket,
mm-hmm.
and a part of the roof falls on your head, who do you hold responsible?
The supermarket.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
So therefore, mm-hmm. while you're within the curtilage of the supermarket, where mm-hmm. anything that falls on or around the supermarket, they're responsible for you. If you're standing across by the post office looking at Big B, or you stand up or by Massey Dome Mall looking across at Massey, I didn't think you're responsible, right? But if you're standing in the curtilage, I suppose they could be held responsible. Although there might be signs saying that until you get in the door, they're not responsible for you. But you could get the lawyers to argue that part.
Because I know a supermarket where, like in relation to not advertising, the one in Hackett Hall, you have to pass through a good section of the store to get into it.
Yeah, agreed.
To get into the supermarket.
Yeah,
so really, laying really responsibility for the supermarket start.
You will have to ask, so I think the mall may have more responsibility for you than the supermarket at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it depends on the contract they have with their proprietors, with the people that they're renting from. For example,
mm-hmm.
let's say, as happened during the period of lockdown,
mm-hmm.
the gym that's located in the mall is not opened. Mm-hmm. Let's say some other place down the road is not opened, but the supermarket is allowed to be opened, or the bank is allowed to be opened, or the ATM. there must be some area of responsibility for your landlord. Because if you walk in and go roaming all over the place and slip and fall and break a window or something, somebody had to be responsible for letting you in. So the number of entrances you use and how far people could go will have to be worked out between your landlord and you. These are things, sir, that lawyers pay attention to, and people get guidance when they pay their legal representative for that kind of information. I know, but I could just guess that that's what may happen. That's a guesstimate from me, sir, to you. Thanks for your call. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Son, how are you doing, sir?
I'm all right.
That's good to hear. A time on this program, sir, you were described as Dennis, the man for all seasons, after you interacted with two children on radio on this program, and it showed a different side of you. The reason I called today, Mr. Johnson, is to congratulate you and the team at VOB on the excellent send-off for Mr. David Ellis. At one time, I forgot that I was listening to the radio. It just sounded like a conversation, the way you two engage, and that is also in addition to the other persons who called and paid tribute. I'm one of those persons, Mr. Johnson, that has followed your career, and everybody can do what you do, but everybody can't do it the way you can. And that is what separates you and makes you a cut above the rest, whether it be crop over events, weather, or playing music on a Sunday afternoon that I thoroughly enjoyed. I just want to give you some prayers, sir, and hope that when you retire, that there's someone who is able to have that kind of interaction with you that the public of Barbados can enjoy.
I thank you very much, sir. And I hope that the connection I've made with the public, I've really appreciated the exchange I've had both on air and off air from people who have shown an appreciation for what we do here. I don't think it's the legacy of the station, and that those who come into this organization should understand that it stands for something, and that they do everything in their power to make sure that it continues. I've enjoyed the time I've been here, sir, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I really do. Thank you very much, sir.